Well, it's an honor and privilege to be back tonight, and I thank you for coming back on a work day like this. Tonight's going to be an exciting evening as we deal with the Jesus of the cults. And people often ask me, how did I get involved in lecturing full-time for the last 30-some years around the world on cults and world religions and non-Christian philosophies? I grew up here in California. My dad was a pastor in California for 55 years, 20 years in Long Beach, California, and then 20 years in Walnut Creek and Concord, and then 18 years in Napa, California. And so I grew up here in California. And growing up, my dad always taught my brother and I, who's a pastor back in Michigan, to be skeptics and question everything. And so we'd have every night around the dinner table these great roundtable discussions trying to stump my dad with questions. When I went off to college, he encouraged me. He said, just don't go to one college. He said, go to a variety and get a broad education. I don't think he realized I was going to take him literally, and I ended up going to 7 different universities. Not because I was kicked out of all of them, but no. As I went to a variety of different universities, majoring in both Western philosophy and Eastern philosophy, and then the philosophy of science. I took out a year and hitchhiked around the world when I was 21 with a backpack to 26 countries of the world. I wanted to see if there was anything that could destroy Christianity. And when I went to college, I took every course I could find that would contradict Christianity. I don't encourage people to do that, but I came from a strong Christian background. So going to 4 different campuses of the University of California and California State campuses, I took every course I could find that would contradict Christianity. Because I figured that if there was anything that could contradict Christianity, it wasn't worth following, and I might as well find out. And after going full circle, philosophically, religiously, scientifically, I came to the realization that what I was taught as a child was the truth. Not simply because I learned it in Sunday school, but as we're going to discover, every other philosophy, every other religion, economic and political theory breaks down at some point and is inconsistent except biblical Christianity. But not only is it philosophically consistent, I am a Christian because, as we demonstrated last night, all the scientific evidence today points to the fact that we are a unique creation of God. We are not accidents evolved out of slimy algae. But I'm also a Christian because historically it's verifiable. In the person of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. You know, Christianity, folks, is not a leap in the dark hoping something's out there. But Christianity is based upon sound historical evidence in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'm also a Christian because Jesus Christ said that he could come and live in my life and make me a new person. And he has done that. And it's been my privilege over the last 30-some years to have now spoken in some 79 countries around the world, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And tonight we want to deal with a very important issue, that of the Jesus of the cults. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, the disciples came to Jesus on the Mount of Olives, and they asked him a question, which is on the minds of many people today, beginning with verse 3. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? You know, a lot of people are asking that question today. How are we to know when Jesus Christ is going to return? What are going to be the signs of the second coming? You know, Jesus said that he would return. My family and I were missionaries during the 1980s in the Philippine Islands. And as I would lecture through that archipelago of 7,000 islands, I would often share with the Filipino people a story they all remembered. A lot of people don't realize that on December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese were bombing Pearl Harbor, that just a few days later, they also began to bomb the Philippines and Clark Air Force Base just north of Manila. General Douglas MacArthur, who was stationed in Manila at the time when the bombing began, MacArthur went out to Corregidor, an island there in Manila Bay, and after a few days, got on a boat and he sailed down to Australia, where he radioed back a message to the Filipino people that they all remembered. And General Douglas MacArthur said, I what? I shall return. And boy, you talk to the Filipinos who lived during the Second World War, and they will tell you that they lived for those words. They knew that MacArthur had promised, I shall return. And in 1944, MacArthur fulfilled that promise and liberated the Philippine Islands. So also, our Lord Jesus Christ has said to us here tonight, he has said, I shall return. And the disciples said, Lord, when is this going to take place? What are going to be the signs of the second coming? And you know, if you read Matthew chapter 24, it's like reading today's newspaper, where he talks about in the last days, you're going to hear wars and rumors of war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You're going to hear about earthquakes and famines and tsunamis. But I want you to notice what Jesus answered, number one, to his disciples concerning the last days. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many people. Verse 11. And many false prophets will also arise and will mislead many. Verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Four times here in his Olivet Discourse, Jesus warns us concerning the last days that one of the things you're going to see is the coming of many false Christs and false prophets. We had, for example, Sun Myung Moon, founder of the Unification Church, recently in San Francisco held a big conference in which he proclaimed that he was the Messiah, that he is the second coming of Jesus Christ, just in case you hadn't heard that yet. We had a few years ago, a decade ago, David Koresh and the Branch Davidian cult down in Waco, Texas. David Koresh, who claimed to be the voice of God, the prophet of God on earth, that he alone was able to interpret Scripture. And you remember the inferno that ensued there in Waco, Texas. We had just a few years ago down in San Diego, California. Down in San Diego, we had Applewhite of the Heaven's Gate cult, in which he had gathered a group of 39 highly educated, intelligent computer programmers down in San Diego, and it convinced them that he was the voice of God, he was the prophet of God on earth. And this is when the Hale-Bopp comet was circling the earth, and he told them that there was a UFO that was hidden behind the Hale-Bopp comet and that they were to leave their bodies and join the UFO that was orbiting the earth. You remember the cover of USA Today newspaper, the front page, where they put on their new Nike uniforms, Nike shoes. They went out to Marie Callender's for a last meal, and these 39 highly educated, intelligent computer programmers, following a man who they believe was the voice of God, the prophet of God on earth, went home and drank poison. And 39 of them committed suicide, believing that they were going to leave their bodies and join a UFO. Jesus said, in the last days, you're going to see the coming of many false Christs and false prophets. As one article said recently, the United States is emerging as a spiritual marketplace. It's what Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man into his own way. And it seems that there is a spiritual marketplace where people are willing to buy into any cult, no matter how bizarre, looking for the answers and peace to life. As U.S. News and World Report said recently, we have become a nation of lost souls. A nation of lost souls who don't know who they are, why they're here, where they're going. But they're going from one cult to the next, trying to find the answer to life.